Today's gospel, as usual, is very good. Let us begin first by invoking the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Let us begin. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, it is a very sad state of affairs that there's more than just one who is lost out of the 99. So many of you and so many friends of mine come to me with their sadness and their woes of family members who are away from the church. It's very difficult for mothers to see their children who they raised in the faith be away from the church. It's very difficult for young people to see their parents be away from the faith. And so what is the solution to this? I have a greater video on this called How to Save Souls, but I want to address some of the most powerful solutions that we have. So how did Jesus Christ go about saving souls? And you'll notice from these readings that Jesus is prioritizing souls. So that needs to be our priority. Our number one priority in the church should be, first and foremost, the salvation of souls. So Jesus saved our souls through his victimhood. Now, I don't mean our blame culture and, oh, I'm the victim of this and that type of thing. I am talking about sacrificing of ourselves for the sake of others. So Jesus's victimhood is what saved us. He sacrificed his will. He sacrificed his body. He accepted all that God the Father had sent to him, and he accepted that as a sacrifice for the salvation of our souls. He did more than just this sacrifice that was sent to him. He did fasting. He did other penances, other mortifications. So I'm not saying that you need to offer yourself as a victim soul. I'm saying that God sends us crosses in our life, in those crosses that he sent us. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you've injured yourself randomly. Sacrifice and suffering in Jesus Christ has been transformed. And so if we are suffering, even if it's because of some accident or some evil done to us, God has permitted it, and he has permitted it for some good. So we need to offer all of that and not let it be wasted for some great cause, particularly the salvation of souls. Now, we need to have sacrifice built into our life. On a regular basis, you need to have things that you are offering up. Maybe on a regular basis, you can do 3 days of, for example, fasting, traditional fasting in a row for a particular cause. If you have souls in your care, I'm a youth minister, and so part of me preparing for youth ministry is for the past couple of days and for the next couple of days, I am fasting at least for 18 hours a day, and I'm doing other food mortifications in preparation for those individuals that I will be hopefully educating and leading towards Christ. Why? Because this is very important. Our Lord Jesus said some devils can only be driven out through prayer and fasting. That means that some souls can only be saved, some souls can only be freed from their afflictions through other people's prayer, and fasting. And we have to recognize that the devil has a deep grip on the souls of many people because of the widespread use of pornography, the widespread of alcoholism and drug abuse. Especially as drugs become more and more available, the devil's grip is going to grow stronger in more people's lives, and so we need to use the tools that Jesus Christ left us. Now, as good as our sacrifices and our sufferings are, the greatest sacrifice, as I mentioned earlier, was Jesus' sacrifice of himself for our salvation on the cross. And we need to tap into that. And yes, my fasting is good. Yes, my mortification is good. Yes, offering my broken foot or my broken shoulder or whatever physical ailments I'm going through is good. But there's no greater sacrifice than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. In my opinion, this is highly underutilized. When we're going to Mass, yes, we're offering the Lord adoration. We're being contrite for our sins. We're thanking the Lord for all the things that we have in our life. But what we're forgetting is we can ask the Lord for great, great miracles of conversion during the Mass. So I encourage you to consider offering a novena of Masses. So let's say, for example, your father, he's away from the faith. You love him dearly. You don't want him to lose his soul. And what can you do? You can offer, let's say, for example, you go to Mass every single day for 30 days. You offer every single sacrifice of the Mass for the salvation of your father's soul. And then, what do you think is powerful? Yes, we pray for our loved ones when they die. We offer a Mass for them when they die. But how much more valuable will those graces be for their salvation if we offer them before they die? Because after they die, their judgment has already occurred. But why not offer the sacrifice of the Mass for our loved ones? Now, some of you I know might not have access to Masses. Well, offer some other Eucharistic sacrifice, maybe 30 days of holy hours. And if you don't even have access to the Blessed Sacrament in that way, perhaps you go on only Mass on Sunday because that's the only opportunity you have for Mass. Well, 30 Sundays in a row, offer it for this specific intention. Grace is necessary for evangelization. Some people think that if I just send a video, or if I can just get them to read this pamphlet, that they'll be converted. Not if they're under the grip of the devil. They need grace to help free them and to make reparation for their sins. Yes, we have to do those prudent actions. So when the time comes, we have to suggest, for example, hey man, you're really suffering. Why don't you try praying the rosary? Why don't you try making a visit to the Blessed Sacrament? That's important, but we also have to offer the grace so that when they are attempting to break free, they will have the graces necessary to overcome, yes, their addictions, their natural human vices, but also if there's diabolical temptations being involved. Let me tell you a quick story. So I have a dear friend of mine. He prays many rosaries a day. He's a very holy friend, but he's got a brother, and I love his brother. His brother is so cool. I always said, man, your brother is so cool. And he's like, yeah, but you know, my brother's involved in many sins. So he was constantly trying to convert his brother, constantly saying, hey, bro, you need to pray the rosary every day. And he's like, oh man, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And his brother was weekly getting drunk, weekly getting high off drugs, weekly living a licentious life, a sinful lifestyle. And sometimes my friend would get his brother to pray a rosary. He'd say, come on, pray the rosary. I was like, fine, I'll pray the rosary with you. And yeah, a little bit was happening in his soul. He kind of wanted to break free from some of these things because he realized that they were bad for his life. Let's call my friend Brandon. Let's call his brother, I don't know, Alex, for example. This is not their names. So Brandon was like, hey, Alex, come on, pray the rosary. Pray four rosaries a day. It'll change your life. And Alex was like, man, I'm not having that, dude. That's too much. So one time, Brandon and Alex were at the Houston Rockets basketball game, and the Rockets were losing. And Alex turns to Brandon, and he says, Brandon, is it okay if I pray for the Rockets to win? He's like, yeah, you can pray for whatever you want. It doesn't mean God's going to grant it. And so Brandon said, why not, Alex? Why not you promise Our Lady that you will pray four rosaries a day for the next week if the Rockets win? Brandon added, even if they lose, you should still keep your promise to the Blessed Mother. So guess what, though? The Rockets win. So you're welcome for that W, James Harden. And the Rockets won, and Alex prayed four rosaries a day, every day. And he hasn't stopped to this very day. 6 months ago, Alex was a mortal sinner, regularly living in mortal sin, addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, living a licentious lifestyle. And now, because of this prudent action of Brandon and the power of praying all of the mysteries of the rosary, Alex is a different man. I had lunch with Alex the other day, and the old Alex is dead. The new Alex is alive, and you wouldn't believe how holy this guy is. You could just feel like he's just got an aura, a grace, a peace about him. And all of his friends, because of Alex's conversion and his praying the four rosaries a day, all of his friends are beginning to change. Alex was telling me, hey, I have, you know, all my friends used to go to the bar and try to meet girls and all this. So I was giving them my testimony, how I was completely changed. How all of a sudden, when I started praying the four rosaries a day, all these temptations, they just stopped out of nowhere. And I was able to say no, and they wouldn't really penetrate my heart. So he was giving his witness to his friend. Alex was giving his witness to one of his drunken, licentious friends. And he said that his friend had gone in the car, and this woman was going to take his friend to her apartment for God keep them from committing sin. But what happened? The guy said, hey, I can't go to your house. I feel too guilty. Please take me home. I must pray the rosary. Wow. Imagine such a change in life just 6 months ago. So we have to remember, we're all sinners. We all have hearts that long for God. We have the key that will make true happiness last in a soul. So in the right moment, maybe you have a son who's going through a very difficult time at work, and you say, son, you know what? Why don't you pray the rosary on your way to work? Or maybe you have a father who's going through depression, who's going through anxiety. You can say, dad, I know you don't go to church and all this, but trust me, praying the rosary has so many benefits. You'll feel more peace of soul. You'll overcome this. And then when they say, oh yeah, that works, say, now I want you to pray four rosaries a day. Why do I always bring this up? Because praying the four mysteries of all the mysteries of the rosary, the 20 decades, that's really praying the entire rosary. When you pray the entire rosary, Mary has made special promises that involve what? Decrease of vice, overcoming these diabolical attacks, great signal graces, special protection. So that's why I'm always promoting this, because this is really what's going to set hearts free. Now, today, as I'm filming this, it's the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. When you're watching this, if you're watching this on Sunday, it's the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. We have a great devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows because she was a victim. She offered herself in union with Jesus Christ. So I don't say victim. When I say victim, I don't mean like pop culture victim. I mean that she offered her sufferings perfectly united to those of Jesus Christ. The saints say that Our Lady suffered so perfectly because she was so pure. She was so immaculate. So we think that Mary's powerful just because of the power of the Holy Spirit, just because she was immaculate, but she's very powerful also because of her great sufferings. The saints say that Our Lady suffered more than any other person that ever lived, and even more than any of the other saints all combined. And so she has great, great power. Are you a suffering mother? Go to Our Lady. Never was it known that anyone who called upon her name was left unaided. When you're trying to convert people, she's a mediatrix of all graces. Always call upon Our Lady. So a great devotion to have to Our Lady of Sorrows is the Seven Sorrows devotion. I will have a link to a video that I made on the Seven Sorrows devotion. I'll teach you a little trick on how to remember what the Seven Sorrows of the Virgin Mary are. The first sorrow is the prophecy of Simeon. That's when Our Lady got a sword through her heart. Well, she got one sword that pierced her heart, so that's how I remember the first. The second sorrow of Our Lady is the flight into Egypt and the massacring of the innocents, so that's two things, that's how I remember that. The third sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary is losing Jesus for 3 days. Third sorrow, 3 days, 1, 2, 3. The fourth sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary is Jesus carrying of the cross. That's easy to remember because that's also the fourth sorrow of the mysteries of the rosary. The fifth sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary is Jesus' crucifixion and death on the cross. Well, that's also the fifth sorrow of the rosary, but Jesus also had 5 wounds, so that's easy to remember number 5. The sixth sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary is Jesus' removal from the cross. Yes, Jesus has 5 wounds. Mary also has a wound, according to Simeon, through her own heart. Archbishop Fulton Sheen had said that although there was only one spear, 2 hearts were pierced that day. The seventh sorrow of the Blessed Virgin Mary is Jesus' burial in the tomb, and that's when it is finished. And what happened on the seventh day? That's when God was finished and God rested. Well, our Lord is in the tomb, so you could think about resting. So we need to have a great devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. She's on our side. She crushes the head of the serpent. If you can even get your family and your friends to wear a scapular, to wear a little miraculous medal, you'll notice that things will change. And at the right time, you make your move, you encourage that rosary, you pray with them, and God's grace will prevail. God bless you, God love you, and we'll see you later.